The Thread is a new hit podcast from Ozymedia that explores history's surprising connections in order to discover how one thing leads to another, like how movie moguls in early Hollywood helped spark the Me Too movement today. Get it on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The big news of the day are the reports, and there are more than one report, but the big one from Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne for ESPN saying that the San Antonio Spurs are talking with the Boston Celtics and Los Angeles Lakers on a trade for Kawhi Leonard. And now this is advances the story, Jonas, because we had heard last week that the Lakers reached out to the San Antonio Spurs about a Kawhi deal, and sources told ESPN that the Spurs shut the door pretty quickly on the Lakers. That now does not seem to be the case, as these sides are engaging in conversations about a possible trade.
Yeah, and you're hearing about these. Was it Sam Amick who said it was a Godfather deal that was out there that the Lakers have put together for Kawhi Leonard? It feels like that's the first thing that's got to happen in order for anything else to happen. And it's almost like having the Celtics as part of this could only help the Spurs, right? Because then it puts pressure and the Lakers feel a legitimate threat. Because if there is a team out there that has the assets to trade and could trade them and welcome in a guy and convince a guy on wanting to stay there with tradition and everything else to go along with it, it's the Celtics. So having the Celtics there is only going to help San Antonio.
I think it helps the Spurs because the Celtics have pieces. And the Celtics are a whole nother story on what they would want to do and how they would want to proceed. But if Kawhi Leonard was thought to be going to L.A. via free agency in 2019, many people thought, oh, the Lakers will just wait it out. Kawhi will get traded somewhere, and then he'll just end up going to the Lakers in 2019. But when we heard Magic Johnson talk about their free agency and how they approach it in 2018 and 2019, and really the reaction, Jonas, to the things that he said earlier this week, where he was criticized for saying there's no pressure, we're going to get some, you know, if I don't get something done in 2 years, then I'm going to step down. A lot of the fan backlash seemed to be like, you better get something done. You better do something in free agency over these next 2 years. And then, Jonas, yesterday, when there was another report that LeBron wanted another piece in place with the Lakers, if you were to join L.A., that seemed to put the pressure on the Lakers. And as you said, with Boston now in conversations, at least with San Antonio, the Lakers are going to have to do whatever they have to do and probably severely overpay for Kawhi Leonard just because of what would come on the back end of all of this.
We talked about this yesterday. It is crazy the amount of power LeBron James has in this league. He is making one of the all-time greats in Magic Johnson, one of the smoothest operators that there is, act in an unnatural fashion. Magic doesn't, he's not a desperate guy, okay? When Magic walks into your door and has an idea about running a business, you listen because he's the guy. He is now in a couple of other instances throughout the course of 3 days, talked and bragged about himself, almost to show, I'm not nervous, you're nervous. He's now desperately trying to facilitate a trade, considering gutting his roster to do so for a guy that, what do you mean? I thought he was just going to go there in free agency anyways. Like, this is all about LeBron James determining the fates of other people around. Like, his impact is crazy on this league. And the amount of great players that he's impacted throughout the course of his career, here we are in the offseason, he's doing it again. Mm-hmm. He could change the fortune of two franchises just by threatening to stay put in Cleveland if a move isn't made. It's crazy.
I look at Paul George as well, as Jonas, is something that apparently the Lakers don't want to wait 3 days. They could start free agency on July 1st, end up having an agreement with Paul George in place, and guess what? That's the piece that LeBron would also want. I think LeBron wants a piece there. He wants another player there with him. But now the Lakers are so freaking out, thinking like, well, if we can't convince Paul George to play in basically his hometown for the team that he always cheered for, we're going to have to go against Kawhi Leonard. It is amazing to see what he has done, because in my mind, and I said it yesterday, I thought the Spurs would take their time with this, that they would have to figure out a plan they wanted to go. The Spurs are now, I guess, as we see on more of a time crunch, knowing that LeBron saying what he said maybe makes their value more so than ever with Boston in, as we touched on just a few minutes ago. So now the Spurs are kind of like, okay, I guess we do have to deal. We do have to deal Kawhi Leonard. But I just thought that Paul George going to L.A. was a foregone conclusion. To think that the Lakers aren't going to wait for Paul George, maybe Oklahoma City is a real thing. I never thought it was, but I would just think if the Lakers were so convinced that Paul George was coming to town, they wouldn't be so heavily pursuing Kawhi Leonard, because that means LeBron would be coming on the back end. Maybe they're just freaked out, and the Lakers are just doing whatever they can to try to make a move to show that they are doing something.
And look, to us, and we grew up watching Magic Johnson and those great players, and because we never played in the league and we don't have the options that those guys have, to us, Magic Johnson walks in and says, "I want you." You listen, that guy's an all-time great. But if you actually look at it from the standpoint of these players and their egos and all the things they've accomplished and when they grew up and who they idolized, how do we know they look at Magic Johnson with the same sort of, you know, wow and so impressed by his aura and everything about him that we do just because we're on the outside? It's like people talk about, man, we're going to get Miami Hurricane football back. It's going to be back, baby. They're going to bring the U back, man. That's the team we grew up rooting for. Yeah, that's cool and all, but when you're recruiting 18-year-old kids, understand that the last time they won a national title, those kids were 5 years old. They didn't grow up with Miami football. We did, so we think it's a bigger deal than it actually is. I wonder how much of this is starting to become a reality to Magic Johnson, and that's why he's getting aggressive. I thought I could sell myself and this organization to a guy like Paul George, who grew up locally here in Southern California, and if I can't land him, who the hell can I land?
Yeah, and it shows to the point of is when we started out the show, and you mentioned LeBron James is making Magic a little nervous.
It's unbelievable,
and so it may show you the brand of what you've got. By the way, with the Sam Amick report, and Sam joins us yesterday. Of course, he covers the NBA for the USA Today. When you look at what the Lakers are supposedly offering San Antonio, a deal that they can't refuse, the pieces that would go to San Antonio, I've said are spots that wouldn't be needed. Like Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma, for as great as Kuzma was in his rookie year and what Brandon Ingram was developing in, those are two spots that would be taken by Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James, or Paul George and LeBron James. So there's no worry about losing those guys, because you're just putting two versions that are probably better, or that are better, I shouldn't say probably better, that are better. So like trading those guys to me isn't as big of a deal if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers, because of what you're getting in return. I don't know what LA has that would be too much for them to offer. I mean, a couple of first-round picks. When you think of the first-round picks, if you have Kawhi and LeBron James already, they're going to be in the 20s. So this offer that the Spurs can't refuse, no matter how big it is from LA, I don't think it can be big enough to bring in Kawhi Leonard, because then it also means you bring in LeBron James.
There's also an aspect to the idea that they were building this so much through the draft that kind of felt different. And I don't know if that they're falling into, I mean, LeBron's path to championships has always been find great players, form a super team. That's what worked for him, so that's what he's doing. But if you were to think about two of the most successful organizations in the NBA right now, as far as drafting, moves they make in free agency, coaching, etc., Golden State and Boston would go to the top of the list as far as who's set up for success long term, who's had really good success in the draft and built from within and had smart free agent signings. Golden State and Boston, they've done that through the draft, and it almost feels like the Lakers were starting to take that path to where you could have sustainability for a long time, and now because LeBron James is available, they're ready to scrap all that and go super team method again. And I wonder if we're starting to see that way isn't as effective as we thought it was, and maybe that's dying out and this is a new way. I mean, it's a copycat league, so back when LeBron was doing it, other teams tried to do it. But I wonder if that's the most successful way to do it. And can you grab a couple of guys, a couple of veterans, and do you still feel better about your chances to be Golden State? I just don't. I don't see it.
I look at and through the draft, at least with the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers, heck, Julius Randle was a top pick, and now he may not be a Laker anymore if he ends up moving on after this year. D'Angelo Russell was a pick that they ended up missing on and ended up having to trade him to just get rid of Timofey Mozgov's contract. Yeah, while Golden State and Boston hit, at least on a good portion of them, they were getting, you know, contributions. The Lakers had some misses early, so these later ones, while they hit, they weren't adding up to what Golden State and Boston had because they missed on some of the guys, or they just didn't get the value that they needed, and maybe that's why they're going. And it also could just be this. It's LeBron freaking James. And when it comes down to it, you get him if you can.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So LeBron James apparently texted Kevin Durant. You hear about this?
Yeah, it's crazy. He texted him, and then I heard several other reports that said, no, he didn't text him. And then, but he's not interested. It's 'tis the season, Dano. All sorts of rumors, calendar rumors. Which one are you buying?
I am buying that he did not text him.
Okay.
Because I think a conversation like that needs to be a conversation and not a text conversation. If you want Kevin Durant to opt out of his contract and join you as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, I think that's something that could be said in person or at least over the phone instead of through a couple of emojis and a couple of sentences in a text. I think that a conversation would happen to actually get Kevin Durant's attention.
You imagine, like, you get a text and it's like a Florida area code and you open it up. Hey, Dan, so-and-so, Golf Channel. Want to come hang out? Excuse me? Don't I fill out an application here? Yeah. Do you want my resume or anything?
Yeah. You want the job? Yeah. What would the want to join me in LA? Question mark? You know, like, is that what the text would be? I wouldn't even know how to passively aggressively do it if I'm LeBron James.
Yeah.
Maybe he would figure out a way, but I don't buy that. I figure that, sure, they probably had conversations. Sure, they probably talked. Heck, we found out that Draymond Green and Kevin Durant were talking before Durant ended up leaving Oklahoma City for Golden State. We thought those guys were enemies. So to think that those two have had any sort of conversation, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. I just think it's ridiculous to think that a text was sent trying to convince Kevin Durant to leave Golden State and join the Lakers.
Well, there's a couple aspects to it. One, I hope it's true. I hope it happens because I'm all about doubling down. If you're going to be a bleep or if you're going to piss a lot of people off, at least double down on it, right? Like, I'm a big fan of people that say, oh, yeah, you want me to apologize? Watch this. And then they double down on it because it would just cause so much controversy. If you thought Kevin Durant leaving to go to the Warriors pissed a lot of people off, teaming up with LeBron James, Jesus, that would be content for us for months, and I would be all in on it, man.
You know, there is something to it if you think about it, because we still have the argument. Not only is it LeBron against MJ all time, but there is a conversation: is Kevin Durant better than LeBron James right now in the NBA? And so Kevin Durant has won the last two finals over LeBron James's team and has been the best player in the NBA. And you're still having this conversation. What better way for Kevin Durant to truly prove he is the best player in the NBA than to overshadow his own teammate? Like, that would be actually, we thought that maybe winning head-to-head would be the reason that we could figure out who is better. But if they played on the same team, Jonas, we may really truly get the answer on who would be better. So at least it could, if you want to think hypothetically, that is a hypothetical way to think that, okay, now we could finally get the answer to who is really the best? Because we saw LeBron rise to the occasion with the Miami Heat, where he was clearly the better player in Miami. We've seen Kevin Durant rise to the occasion with the Golden State Warriors, that he's better than Steph Curry and better than Klay Thompson, even though they're very good players. To settle this, they could be on the same team, and then we would find which one would actually rise to the top.
Here's the other aspect of it that I was thinking. You never, okay, guys can relate to this. Maybe you can, Dan. Not this way back in the day. I mean, you were happily married. This would not happen any time within the last 4 years.
Or six.
Yeah, yes. Listen, and again, I was just testing you. I wanted to make sure you knew the timeline. This is all how it's all done. But guys know that there's a different answer when you ask somebody, hey, does she have a boyfriend? If the answer is, yeah. Okay. But if the answer is, Yeah, they're kind of, I don't know, it's kind
of on the outs.
Yeah, not really sure. Oh, okay. Well, and then it piques your interest, and then you'll want to engage. If you knew it was a flat, yeah, she has a boyfriend, not interested, you wouldn't even try and engage. Mm-hmm. Most of us, unless you're a scumbag. No offense, John. But if you know that it's on the rocks or the window is open just a little bit, you'll engage in it. So if this is true, and LeBron did reach out to Kevin Durant, this says a lot about how happy Kevin Durant is in Golden State. Because if LeBron knew that Kevin Durant was good there and he had no interest in wanting to go to L.A., he'd never even bother reaching out. If he did, it's because he sees the potential for them to break apart earlier than a lot of people anticipate. Mm-hmm. We've heard the reports that there was some friction this season. We've heard reports, David West, Sean Livingston, right after the NBA Finals were over, if only you guys knew what went on this year, it was crazy. Maybe that's what it's alluding to. And if LeBron knew that he was happy there, he'd never reach out to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin Durant is 100% happy at Golden State, but I do think that he looks at life after basketball. And that after basketball is, you know, Kevin Durant's had got his foundation, he's got his own company, and he's making tons of connections in the Bay Area with people in the tech world, in the online world. And I think that Kevin Durant looks at his success after basketball as being a multimillionaire billionaire by having his hand in so many different companies that are just blowing up worldwide. That I think is something that is keeping him with the Golden State Warriors. But if it was truly a basketball decision, I look at everything that we thought would happen to him, even if he won titles with Golden State when he left Oklahoma City, all of that came true. We're still discussing how great he is. Sure, he's better than Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but there are some that don't want to give him the credit. He still doesn't receive the great credit of being an NBA Finals MVP and a two-time champion because we still say, well, you joined the best team in the league. How hard was that? So everything that happened 2 years ago that we thought would happen has come true to Kevin Durant. None of that has changed. That could be weighing on his mind.
And look, sometimes the pursuit is greater than the actual achievement. Once you get it, it's not as great. You really wanted this item for Christmas. You never thought you were going to get it. You've been asking for it all year. And then you finally open up your gift. You got it. You play with it for 2 weeks. You're over it.
Yep.
Because the thought of it was so much more than the actual acquiring of it. And so the pursuit of the title was probably so much more than the actual winning the title for him. And that probably jarred him a little bit. And now he's trying to scramble to see, okay, what the hell is going to make me happy? Because clearly it wasn't that. I've done it twice and I'm still not fulfilled. Mm-hmm.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app. Now. Does it get any better than this? I think not. It's the John Ramos Show.
Ramos!
It's the John Ramos Show.
Hey, this is John
Ramos Show.
This is the John Ramos Sports on Fox Radio.
Huh?
Here's John Ramos.
He says exactly what Suzanne tells him to say.
Ramos!
Shut up, John.
Ramos!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah. Come on, get up, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
do this!
Hey, we have a great show for you tonight. It's Three's Company Thursday. Don't let those squares tell you any different. Three is always better than two. That's right, right? As always, make sure to always use the hashtag The John Ramos Show. Tonight's Three's Company Thursday, we want to know which threesome you'd most like to see come together. Jesus. Is it LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George? What about Adele, Beyonce, and Cher? They seem like they get along, right? Well, nothing is out of bounds here on the John Ramos Show. As always, I'll read your tweets later on the show. Plus, make sure you stay tuned later because I'm going to strip down and go sunbathing on the observation
Ooh.
Deck. My Novo sidekick Ryan is out today, so I have my friend Robert here. Robert, let's get started with a little baseball.
I love baseball.
I know you do. Hey, I thought this was interesting, though. I was checking through the news, and did you hear the Dodgers have already hit 52? That's right. 52 home runs in the month of June.
I saw that. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it makes me think there's something fishy going on, Robert.
Really? Why is that, John?
Well, I heard most of these guys couldn't get past second base in college.
Yeah!
Page two.
Is your favorite quarterback addicted to paint chips? Find out next on the John Ramos Show.
My name is... I live with Santa Claus. You never heard about me, and the reason is because...
Hi, Bob Boone reminding you that Santa has a new friend and helper this year.
What?
It'll make a great gift, and the kids will really enjoy it. Look for this beautifully illustrated storybook, tape, and frump doll.
Let's hear it for 70s week on the John Romo Show.
All right.
I thought it was 90s week.
I know everyone is on social media right now going crazy for Fleetwood Mac. Hey, I heard Mac will be performing at the Senior Citizen Center in Wilmington next week, so be on the lookout for them. And don't forget to stick around for their in-depth interview with me before the end of the show. Also, coming up, I know you've been waiting on this. In honor of Three's Company Thursday, I will give you the top 10 coaches from the West Coast Conference who never averaged more than 3 points in a game in high school. Trust me, there are some stars on this list. But right now, in honor of my good friend Jonas Knox, let's strip down and take a stroll on the observation deck. LeBron James. I think Space Jam 2 is going to be great. Kawhi Leonard, the Riverwalk sucks, doesn't it?
Oh,
edgy. Paul George, hey, I don't like people with two first names. Arkansas baseball, you just made Bill Buckner look good.
Oh, come on.
The Mexican soccer team, orale.
The script, by the way, said Bill Buckner.
Anthony Joshua, stop being a chump. The German soccer team, 999.
Oh,
Jesus. Dez Bryant, come to the Rams. We'll treat you real nice. Are overweight pitchers bad for baseball? Find out next on The John Romo Show.
And now, Super Plays of the Week, starring the craziest sports balls of the world, Super Mad Balls. Football, someone splits a Super Mad Ball into the game, centers it to the quarterback, who freaks out and...
It's 70s week, everybody. Let's give it up for Fleetwood Mac!
He said 90s week on Monday.
Fleetwood was supposed to be on the show yesterday, but got bumped from Menudo and Billy Idol-y. I'm glad we were able to reschedule. Don't forget, they'll join me here up on the stage later on for an in-depth interview where I'll ask them to reveal their favorite musical threesome on this Three's Company Thursday. Also, we have a John Romo Show exclusive, everybody, something you won't hear on any other show in the country, radio, TV, or see blog, website. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? I'll have that for you coming up later on. But right now, sports fan, it's time for... John Purdy. Welcome in. I'm your host, John Ramos. Glad to have you aboard. Let's take a look at the categories in John Purdy. Remember, you might hear this, or you might hear this. Let's get started. Here are the categories. The Red Hot Julius Peppers. The San Antonio Spurned. Two Girls and a World Cup. Roger Federer, Suzanne Summer, things my wife has done so far this summer. Dan, you're up first. Pick a category.
All right. I would like, give me Roger Federer. For
Sorry, guys. Time's up. That'll do it for today's episode of John Purdy. That's all the time we have for tonight.
My God.
A big thanks to everyone who tweeted and used the hashtag The John Ramos Show. Also, thanks to Fleetwood Mac for being tonight's special musical guest. Sorry, Fleets. We'll have to get to you next time on the interview. And Robert, I'll catch you.
Ooh, oh, man. Oh. Let me tell you something. There were so many. I'll say this about that one. There were so many twists and turns. The twist and turn that really confused me is how I got the wrong order of the segments and the teases.
There was a late minute switch with the script. We just didn't get updated scripts.
Well, that was well done though. I mean, he not even a goodbye to John to Robert Guerra at the end of it. Not even just sort of killed it. John Purdy didn't even let it play out. I love John Purdy, man.
I was glad we got Bill Idol-y back in there.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to hear from him again.
By the way, how many Billy Idol cover bands out there heard us do that segment yesterday and are like, that's it? Bill Idol-y, that's the name of our band.
Hashtag the John Ramos Show.